proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. I'm your host, Aaron Broughton, and I want to thank you for joining me today. Some of you may know that IBJM publishes a quarterly magazine called The Everlasting Nation. Recently, one issue of the magazine dealt with the important topic of biblical foundations for Jewish missions. In it, Brother David DeBrain wrote a great article on the Trinity and the Tanakh. Brother David and his family served with IBJM in Johannesburg, South Africa. The Son of God had to come in the flesh for mankind to understand the Trinity. The disciples of John exclaimed that they had not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit, according to Acts 19, verse 2. Jesus, the Son of God, had to be present among us to explain that biblical monotheism was in fact Trinitarian monotheism. Further, it took centuries of theologizing for Christians to come to helpful categories to explain the biblical data. Nevertheless, what became clear through progressive revelation was implicitly present in earlier revelation. The New Covenant is what teaches the Trinity explicitly, but the Tanakh, or the Old Testament, contains it implicitly. Let's now examine the Hebrew Scriptures concerning curious plurals. One remarkable feature of the Tanakh is how often the one God is referred to plural terms. Genesis 1:1, God here is Elohim, a plural. Ecclesiastes 12:1, he's creators. Isaiah 45 verse 4 mentions as makers and husbands. The well-known plural pronouns of Genesis 1:26, where it says, let us make man in our image. Genesis 3:22, it says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. Later on, Genesis 11:7, where it says, go to, let us go down. All of these are remarkable. Certainly, these can be plurals of majesty or represent God in council, according to Psalm 82, but they also open the door to the possibility of a plurality of personhood within God. An interesting plurality is embedded in the most famous monotheistic text, the Shema of Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, where it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Here, the Hebrew word for one is echad. This word for one suggests compound unity, such as Adam and Eve becoming one flesh. Now then, let's look at the difference between speaking as God and for God. Angels speak for God, but never as God. Indeed, they vehemently reject any attempt to worship them. However, particularly throughout the book of Genesis, we have an angel who appears and speaks as God, the angel of Yahweh. After Abraham obeyed and regarding being willing to sacrifice Isaac, his son, we read, where it says in Genesis 22:15 and 16, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. After the Lord met with Abraham, he headed for Sodom. Genesis 19 verse 24 says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Here there appear to be two presentations of Yahweh, the one on earth and the one in heaven. We are reminded of this in Psalm 110 verse 1, where it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make mine enemies thy footstool. When Jacob wrestled with a man all night, he called the place Peniel, or the face of God, because he saw God and lived, something which was supposed to have been impossible. Let's now look at some other early namings of the Trinity in the Hebrew Scriptures. Finally, there are Old Testament Scriptures that come close to the naming of the persons of the Trinity. We find in Isaiah 48, verse 16, here it says, come ye near unto me, hear ye this, I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I, and now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Similarly, in Isaiah 63, verses 8 through 16, we have the Hebrew Abba, or Father, Mashiach, or Messiah, the angel, and the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit, in one breath. Psalm 2, verse 7 and verse 12 both name the Son. He is the Davidic king, but he is clearly begotten of Yahweh and to be worshipped. Consider the enigmatic Proverbs 30, verse 4, which says, who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? What is his name? Or what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Indeed, the new is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. Now I want to thank you for tuning into this program as we've discussed the Trinity in the Tanakh. This was recently published in IBJM's quarterly magazine, The Everlasting Nation. If you'd like to obtain your copy of this magazine or desire to hear this program again, simply visit us at ibjm.org.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.